This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Dr. Billy Graham was once asked to list the three most important steps of planning an evangelistic crusade. What do you suppose he said? Well, please stay with us as we learn how important his answer is for our lives as well.
We're going to sharpen up our prayer life today, so stick with us. Let's pray. Merciful and faithful Lord, we give you thanks and praise for another day of life with you. We recognize that all good things come from your hand, food and clothing, home, family, daily work, and all we need from day to day. We also thank and praise you for giving us the greatest gift of all, salvation. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have been so good to us. Thank you, Father. Amen. Our reading for today is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And then Jesus said to them, Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Don't bother me. The door's already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if your child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Here ends our reading. Famous evangelist Dr. Billy Graham once said, and I quote, "Sometimes I'm asked to list the most important steps for an evangelistic mission, and my reply is always the same. 3 things, prayer, prayer, and prayer." He then goes on to say, "Prayer is crucial in evangelism. Only God can change the heart of someone who is in rebellion against him, no matter how logical our arguments or how fervent our appeals. Our words will accomplish nothing unless God's Spirit prepares the way." The disciples of Jesus noticed that prayer was a priority in the ministry of Jesus, that it was actually a way of life for him, as he carried out his mission of announcing the kingdom of God to the people around him. When you think about it, though Jesus had only 3 years of public ministry, he was never too hurried to spend a few hours in prayer. No day began or closed in which he was not in communion with his Father. He found it, obviously, to be a necessity. So his disciples made a request of him. Notice they didn't say, "Lord, teach us to preach," or "Lord, teach us to do miracles," or even "Lord, teach us to be wise." What they did say was, "Lord, teach us to pray." Perhaps they had tried on their own and felt a bit inadequate or frustrated. I hear that now and again in conversations with people that I have, even with mature followers. We all have our moments and we struggle a bit with our prayer life. Those moments when maybe we're puzzled or confused or disappointed or wonder what's the point of it all. Well, Jesus answered his disciples with the affirmative. He gave them, first of all, a prayer outline to work with. We in the church have called it the Lord's Prayer. It's probably better called the disciples' prayer, since Jesus taught it to his disciples, and the fact that it says, "Ask for forgiveness," and Jesus was without sin. But he gave them this prayer as an outline or a pattern to work from. He said, when you turn in conversation with God in the midst of your serving him as one of his disciples, talk to him, first of all, as Father. He's your heavenly Father, the Father who loves you. And then he says, and then you talk to the Father about his person, about how you want his name to be hallowed and held up and special, as special in this world. Then he said, talk to him about his program, "Thy kingdom come. Lord, we look for you to take over." And then turn to him with your needs as you ask him for provision. Give us this day our daily bread, and pardon, forgive us our sins, and protection, deliver us from evil, save us from temptation. Jesus said, talk to God about these things. And then he went on to give them some good faith thinking, some theology to live by. And that's where I want to spend most of our time looking at this today, is how Jesus taught them about the hearer of prayer. In the next section, after he teaches them the prayer, he taught them about the God who hears their prayers, that this God is good and faithful. He begins by describing for them a scenario of an individual who has a friend drop in unexpectedly in the middle of the night. Oriental hospitality demanded that when a person show up like that, you give them a meal and take care of them. But this individual that got the unexpected guest was without bread. He had the other articles, I imagine, to give his guest, but what would a meal be without bread? He knew that his friend down the road had plenty of it. How he did, I don't know. It's a parable anyway that Jesus was telling. So you go down to this man goes down to his friend and calls out to him through the window, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. I've got a friend that's shown up unexpectedly, and I need to serve him a meal." He said, can you imagine this friend responding in a rather grumpy manner? "Don't bother me now. The door is bolted and my kids are asleep. I can't give you anything." Of course, that would never happen in Oriental culture in those days. They just didn't treat each other like that. Jesus was kind of holding up, I suppose, a picture of, this is ridiculous. Can you imagine that if you went to a friend and asked him to help you, that he'd treat you like this? And then he goes on to say, but this friend will not give you the bread just because he's a friend, but because of in our version says, the persistence of the asker, or perhaps some have said because of the wanting to save his reputation and not be ashamed of the one who was being asked. Anyway, Jesus says he'll give him all that he needs. And then Jesus goes on to say, so I say to you, having heard this little story, ask, it'll be given you, seek, and you will find, knock, and the door will be opened. It's as if Jesus is saying, listen, if you can expect that you're going to get this bread in the middle of the night from a friend down the road, surely you can rest assured that this God that you call Father in heaven loves you so much that he will not treat you like that. He'll treat you with so much more respect, or with so much more faithfulness than even the best of friends. Jesus is pointing out this friend, your Father in heaven, is greater than any and more faithful than any friend you can possibly have. You should rest assured you can turn to him and he will answer your prayers. This prayer that I just gave you, Jesus said, the Lord's Prayer. So then he goes on to say, to repeat the ask, seek, and knock. He says, so everyone who asks, everyone who seeks, everyone who knocks. And it's in the present tense. So it's as if he's saying, so keep on asking, keep on knocking, and keep on seeking. And then he says, I'll give you another reason why you should persist in the discipline of prayer. He says, know this, your Father knows what is best for us. He will answer with what is best. And he offers up another picture. Imagine your child comes to you as a parent and asks you for a fish. Would you give him a snake? No. Or if he came to you asking for a loaf of bread, would you give him a stone that was shaped like a loaf of bread? No. Or if your child came asking for an egg to eat, would you trick him with a scorpion that, when they're all gathered up, look like an egg, I am told? He said, of course you wouldn't. So he said, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give his good gifts to you, his disciples? You see, when you are a follower of Jesus, he's telling us there, is you're like a child of, you're a child of God. You're one of God's children, and you can come confident knowing that your Father loves you and will respond with what you need. He'll always answer with what's best for us, Jesus said. It may not be what we think is best, but as the old TV show says, Father knows best. He said, in fact, the Heavenly Father will give you the ultimate when you turn to him like this in prayer, his Holy Spirit, which means God himself. He'll enter into your life and give you power and guidance to do what he has called you to do in this life as you serve him as a disciple. I've learned how valuable and important that is in my own ministry. I have Luther's little prayer for the study right next to my computer as I'm writing sermons each week. And Luther reminds me through this prayer, I need to pray for power in my preaching. He says in his prayer, O Lord God, Father in heaven, I am indeed unworthy of the office and ministry in which I am to make known your glory and to nurture and serve this congregation. But since you have appointed me to be a pastor and a teacher, and the people are in need of teachings and the instructions, be thou my helper and let your angels attend me. Then if you are pleased to accomplish anything through me, thy glory, and not to mine or to the praise of men, grant me out of your grace and mercy a right understanding of your word, that I may also diligently perform it. O Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, Bishop of our soul, send your Holy Spirit that he may work with me, yea, that he may work in me to will and to do through your divine strength according to your good pleasure. Amen. I take that one seriously. And before I go into a service for preaching, I have someone come back and we pray that God's power may be at work, stirring in me the Holy Spirit as I preach. Jesus says, when you ask, your will be done, you know, that word would get preached or shared. He gives you His Holy Spirit. Or as you're facing a situation in life, He fills you up with Himself. As I read these words of Jesus in these two scenarios, I'm reminded of an old saying that we use around our church. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. That's pretty much what Jesus is saying here as He's encouraging His disciples to a life of prayer. As He gives them the prayer to pray, the things to talk to God about, He says, and don't forget what this hearer of your prayer is like. He Himself is the one who makes prayer work. That's the power. He's good. He's faithful. And so like a child goes confidently to his or her loving Father, you can go confidently to your Heavenly Father. You can know that He will answer, maybe not always the way you want to have it answered, but He'll answer with what is best for you. One of my favorite Lutheran writers is Gerhard Frost. And looking back on his prayer life, he wrote this little sonnet where he writes, "Thank you, Lord, for always answering prayer, but not indulging my every petty private give me. Thank you for winnowing and refining, vetoing and delaying, refusing and revising. Thank you for being God and never less, for freeing me for wide horizons, for protecting me from my limited vision and wayward will. Thank you for foiling my every effort to unseat you and make myself like king. Thank you for keeping it safe for me to pray. We have a Father who knows best." Jesus encourages us. Keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. Praying those things that I've given to you this day, my disciples. So, when it comes to you and to me in our decision making about, am I going to pray about the situation, or am I going to pray for daily bread or forgiveness, or that God's will would be done on earth, or whatever the circumstance, it really, according to Jesus, is a no-brainer according to the picture He's given us. He'd say, go for it, pray. Don't give in to the temptation to give up on prayer or skip it because you're too busy. It's your most powerful weapon God has given you against the evil one. It's written somewhere in a passage in a book that I read. The one concern of Satan is to keep the saints from prayer. He fears nothing from prayerless studies or prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. Jesus says, persist in it. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And if these pictures Jesus has drawn of a faithful friend and loving Father aren't enough, here's one more for you to hang on to as you're considering your prayer life and trusting Him with everything in it. The picture is of a cross with the Son of God hanging upon it. The Father saw your greatest need to be saved from sin and death, and out of love for you gave His all. That's how faithful and good He is. He went all out to make you His son or His daughter. Surely, surely we can trust that kind of love in our daily walk with Him as His disciples, as we serve Him in this world. It's time to pray. Amen.
Faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Thy faithfulness, Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see, and all I have needed thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Yeah. And great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Every morning new.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for being available and approachable. Thanks for this encouraging lesson on prayer from Jesus. Help us to trust you, count on you every day of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has encouraged you to persist in prayer. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Christian Crusader services are made possible through the support of our listening family. Your offerings enable us to bring the gospel message to those who are unable to attend their own church services. Without your prayers and financial gifts, Christian Crusaders would not have been able to air this program for the past 77 years. Please address your letters and gifts of support to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. All gifts are tax deductible. We are most grateful for your faithful support. Be sure to visit our website at ChristianCrusaders.org, where you'll also find today's program in both audio and printed forms, as well as previous week's programs, a daily devotion, and many other biblical helps. That's ChristianCrusaders, all one word, .org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or call our toll-free telephone number at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day, and we pray you'll be able to join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in his 77th year of broadcasting biblical truth.